Yes, welcome to FNR for the very, very special pre-game show tonight. Of course, the Socceroos and Honduras are playing for it's a do-or-die affair. It's the winner-takes-all. It's a spot in the World Cup next year in Russia, and it's all to play for tonight. And we're going to be taking you right through until kickoff at 8 o'clock when we'll be taking a live feed of the Fox Sports broadcast of the big clash up there at ANZ Stadium, the Socceroos and Honduras. And with me for most of the 2 hours leading into the game is Ian Greener. Ian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. I am pumped. I am pumped for tonight.
Well, it's big. There's lots to talk about coming up in the show. We're going to be speaking to Captain Socceroo himself, Paul Wade. He's captained more Socceroos games than any other player in history. We're going to then talk to Josip Skoko, who has gone through this process on three separate occasions. Of course, Iran in 97 and then Uruguay in 01 and 05. So after there's a one man who we can speak to about what the players will be feeling right now. It is Josip Skoko. In the second hour, we're going to talk to Michael Zapponi live from ANZ Stadium, of course, courtesy of Fox Sports. We're going to speak with Les Scheinpflug, former Socceroos coach and inaugural FFA Hall of Fame inductee. And then we're going to have a chat with a few fans at the stadium just to give us a little bit of colour leading into those final moments before the boys run out and play tonight. Now, Ian, what do you think's going to happen? How do you think the game's going to pan out?
Okay, my view is we have to score in the first 15 minutes. I think if we get that goal, first 15 minutes, I'm going to be a lot more comfortable. I think we'll be heading for Russia. I think the longer the game goes, I think that we may struggle, but I think we will score in the first 15 minutes. I think we will take control. And as much as we still don't know the full potential of this Honduras team, I think we have enough. Based on what I saw on Saturday, we have enough to get over the line tonight.
I agree, but we need to score early. If we don't score early, I'm going to have a heart attack because I'm a nervous watcher of the Socceroos because scoring goals has been our Achilles heel. So the longer it goes without a goal, the more nervous I'm going to get. So
what if we go to penalties? How are you going to cope?
Well, I just can't see it being nil all. The only way I can go to penalties is if it's nil all after 2 hours. I just can't see that. There's got to be a goal in the game at some stage. So penalties are out. I can't imagine the game going to penalties at this stage. And we'll talk about this later, but not to mention Australia's phenomenal record in Australia over the past 2 years. It's an amazing record. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. We've got lots to go through. We're going to talk about team selection. We're going to talk about the lack of goals in the first leg. Will it come back to haunt us? Where are all our strikers? What's going on? We're going to talk a little bit about Honduras. They've got, of course, got a couple of players coming back into the side as well. Talk about their coach, Jorge Luis Pinto, who's been creating this siege mentality around the team since he's arrived in Australia. We're going to talk about why that might be happening. We're going to talk about what it means to the FFA if Australia doesn't qualify. How much money do we lose? How much marketing exposure is lost? What about our reputation? What about the key administrators? Do they survive? And, of course, the Socceroos stats at home since 2005. We will talk about that as well. So plenty to get through over the next 2 hours. We're going to take a very quick break in.
So you think that this is going to happen in 2 hours? We've got a lot more time to talk about.
Well, they're my points. We'll try and get through as many as we can. Of course, we're also speaking to four or five very, very special guests and a couple of lunatic fans up there at the ANZ Stadium as well. So plenty to get through in the next 2 hours. Stick around here on FNR for the very special pre-game show for the Socceroos v Honduras clash. Coming up after the break, Captain Socceroo himself, Paul Wade.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. With thanks to the Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions, this is The Road to Russia. Honduras versus the Socceroos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to FNR Football Nation Radio for the very special broadcast of the Socceroos v Honduras there at ANZ Stadium in Sydney. We're going to take a live feed of the game at 8 o'clock thanks to Fox Sports. But in the build-up to the game, we go to the most important people, of course, who we can talk to give us their valuable insight into what the players might be thinking, the coaches might be feeling, what's going on in the rooms right now. And, of course, when you want to talk to the greatest Socceroo captain of all time, the one with the most Socceroo caps as captain ever, we go to Paul Wade. Wadey, welcome to the show.
Wow, what an intro. How much do I owe you for that? That was sensational. I'm actually going to get a recording and write that down. That is sensational. You're too kind. Thank you.
G'day, Paul. It's Ian Greener. How are you?
Now I know this is serious. Now you know. Now you know there's something on the line when you get Ian Greener up there.
It's a serious pregame show here, Wadey. Chris Appleford here with you as well, mate. We're going to go into tonight's game in just a moment, but you played in a similar do-or-die game against Argentina in 1993. Can you just give us a little bit of insight into the most vivid memories of that whole experience, the lead-up to it and the game itself?
I think the key to all of that was the fact that Maradona was in the country and the fact that everybody else was insignificant. We were just there for the ride. We all wanted to see him. They reckon there were 500 million people watching that game in Sydney. Glad they didn't tell me that, by the way. But look, you saw him on the TV all the time. Forget all the other news stories. It always led with him, and he was always training without his boots done up. So it was just massive. And the closer we got to the game, the more nerve-wracking it became, because you look at their team on a piece of paper and you go, wow, World Cup, World Cup, World Cup, World Cup. So it was pretty daunting, but it's like everything, Ian, isn't it? You get out there and after the game you wonder what you were worried about in the first place.
Absolutely. Paul, I was in that crowd with the late Tony Dunkley, and I remember at the end of the game, we were absolutely devastated. What was your feeling right at the end of the game?
Wow. The one where we drew 1-1, or the one over there where we got beat by an Alex Tobin own goal? Which one?
The one here.
The one here.
Yeah, you know what I didn't mind this one, Ian, when we played here, because we got so many accolades where people were saying, wow, you know, almost part-time footballers, most of us were pro or semi-pro, but yeah, people were saying, wow, what a great result. Now you're going to take this to Argentina and put a lot of pressure on, which is exactly why Eddie Thompson played them at home. He wanted to get a positive result because he knew that if we took them to Argentina with a 1-0 win or a 1-1 draw, then they would be put under so much pressure by their fans, by the media. And that's exactly what happened. The president of Argentina said, there will be a national day of mourning if Australia beat our Argentinian team tomorrow. So, look, you know what? They're used to the pressure. But that was good to see, the fact that we were given so much respect.
Hey, Wadey, you captained the Socceroos many, many times. What's the role of the captain on an occasion like this? What will Mile Jedinak have done over the last few days and in the hours before the game tonight to prepare the team?
That's an interesting question, because all the captains that I played under, well, really, there was only one major one, and that was Charlie Yankos. He wanted to be vocal. He wanted to let everybody know that, you know, verbally, that we're a team. I just walked around. I was focused on my job. My attitude to every training session was what I basically had. That Tomo said, I picked you as the captain because of your attitude, whether it be a training or in a game.
Yeah.
And you never came off with anything left in the tank. So that was the only way I knew how to lead. I really didn't have much of anything else. I couldn't negotiate the cost or the wages of the players. I remember we were playing against Croatia, and the boys said, Wade, you go and get us some more money. So I went to the old Soccer Australia and said, we want more money. And they said to me, we haven't got any. So I went to the players and said, they haven't got any. And they said, well, we're not playing. So I went to the FFA and all the Soccer Australia and said, we're not playing. And they said, who's not playing? And we had to go, mate, I went backwards and forwards. It was ridiculous. So you know what I did? Very quick story. I thought, I'm not doing that again for the World Cup qualifiers against Canada and against Argentina. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to negotiate the whole deal to actually qualify. You know how much I got out of the Soccer Australia? $6,500. Well done me, right? Well, Graham Arnold turned up and he's gone, what the? I tell you what, he said, I don't get out of bed for less than $5,000. So anyway, Graham Arnold, Robbie Slater, Frank Farina went in there to Soccer Australia. We eventually got $35,000. And here's Paul Wade thinking that he'd done really well. $6,500. Gee.
To share.
Nightmare. Hey?
To share amongst the boys.
Exactly right. You know what? I probably would have been happy with that as well. I tell you what, I have absolutely no idea. So when it comes to leadership, you really do need to concentrate on your strengths. And mine was just being the best I could all the time, whether it was been training sessions or in games.
So, Paul, where do you think tonight we'll win the game? And which players would you say would be the key players to perform tonight?
Wow, that's a big. We need to score a goal. There is obviously that situation. And whilst I really did enjoy Bajic and Josh Risden getting up and down the line, more thinking about their defensive duties than anything else, I think Matthew Lecky is going to make a heck of a difference going forward. My biggest fear is that when he does go forward, can he get back? I think we totally dominated the middle of the park too. I think Jackson Irvine did a great job. Luongo, Moy, Jednak, you know what I mean? They played some really good football, but I really think that it's out wide going forward that we can really make an impact. That's the key, both defensively and in attack. I just don't know what I'd do if I was Ange. Would you go all out and throw two attacking wide players? Or maybe one of each. It's one attacking, one defending. Not quite sure. But I tell you what, he's a positive coach, isn't he?
He is. Paul, what's your thought then of playing Moy and Rogic together? Do you think that can work?
Yeah. I think with Rogic playing in Scotland, I'm thinking that he wouldn't be able to hide anywhere. He wouldn't be able to bludge because he'd cop an absolute serve. So I'm figuring from that he must have a fair work rate to be able to compete with those boys. I think he got about 80 minutes in the last game he played for Celtic. So he's obviously starting to play with a little bit more confidence. I don't think it's a bad idea. I really don't, because that Irvine Moy pass, that one pass that is going to set up Bajic or Risden or Lecky, whoever it might be, that just might be the one that gets us the goal.
Hey, you were a former teammate of Ange Postecoglou at South Melbourne. Were there any signs that he was going to go on and be this successful coach and coach the Socceroos potentially to a World Cup in his own right?
Absolutely not. He was a social director as far as we were concerned. He organised a great trip to Hawaii after we beat Melbourne Croatia in the grand final. Boy, was that well organised. Unfortunately, what he did was he booked all the boys to go in the first week to Hawaii and then, got this, he booked all the boys who were married to go in the second week. How stupid is that? We were walking around avoiding people because of what we'd done in the first week. Good one, Ange. His organisation skills weren't that crash hot. But honestly, he was quiet. He was just unassuming. We just respected him as the captain. I don't know why. It's not as if he did anything special, but we all listened to him when he talked, and he didn't rant and rave.
Paul, you were one of the greatest captains of Australia. Your real skill, from my point of view, was your leadership. You inspired players within your team. The thing about the...
That's very kind of you.
Well, you've paid us $20 to say that, haven't you? So, but when I looked at the Honduras team on the weekend, there didn't seem to be any leadership there.
No. I was so disappointed, Ian. Honestly, I was. Because we got hold of the Honduras versus Mexico game when they played. And they, I wouldn't say they wiped the floor with them, but I tell you what, I was thinking, oh, gee, if we lose 1-0, if they play like this and we lose 1-0, it's not a bad result. But when I saw the first 10 minutes, I thought, gee, we're in for a heck of a fight now. But after 10 or 15 minutes, that was it, wasn't it?
There was nothing.
Yeah. People were the gaps between players got bigger and bigger. And as soon as gaps between players get big, they stop communicating. And as soon as they do that, that teamwork, that understanding goes right out the window. So I was very disappointed. You're right, no leaders. It's almost like everybody was breathing out of every orifice available to them and couldn't communicate at all.
Hey, Wadey, people have been saying how impressive the Socceroos' performance was on Saturday. We spoke about this last night, Ian and I, on one of our other shows, the Winning Coach Program.
Yeah.
Do you believe that if you put in a dominant performance and create scoring chances but don't score any goals, that you've put in a good performance, that you can consider it a good performance?
Yeah, that's at the end of the day. You know, as Graham Arnold says for Sydney FC, he said, it's, at this level, it's all about winning. He says, I'm not there to play pretty football.
Yep.
He said, I get sacked if I don't win. So he said, that's my priority. And if I do whatever I do to get results. So if that be the case for Graham Arnold, who is now the most successful coach in A-League history, even if it is only 12 years, you just got to think, well, yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe it is about results. And if it is about results and we're not getting victories, then maybe we are rubbish or not good enough or shouldn't be praised as much as we are praising the boys at the moment. We don't want to go back to the bad old days of saying, whoa, we only got beat 2-0, well done.
Yeah.
Those days are well and truly gone. But I don't know, I felt so pleased in the performance. In the build-up, we never gave the ball away. We created chances, but I don't know, boys. What are we going to do? Where are we going to find these Tim Cahills? I don't know. I don't know. Ian, you're close to the coaching, I'll assume. Are we not getting our kids to just kick the ball in the back of the net? Are we too focused on getting them to play skillful midfield roles? Because everybody does that. It's almost like we've got 11 midfielders out there. Do we actually spend hours and hours and hours teaching a kid how to make a run into a vacant position, how to spin off a defender? I don't know. Have we got it all wrong?
Well, I think we've got to get our young kids back to playing with some flair, with some imagination. Cast your mind back to Albert Park and Middle Park with you and Tim White and Jeff Olver and Kevin Muscat working with the kids. Just let them play. But we need to develop kids who can put that ball into the back of the net, because as well as we played on the weekend, and we did play exceptionally well and we played the ball through the various thirds, we still have to, we've got to develop not just one or two, we've got to develop a generation of young players who want to put the ball in the back of the net. With our school practices, all the kids want to do is possession play, possession play, possession play.
Yeah, yeah.
When we give them a chance to actually play within a shooting practice, it still goes to possession, possession, possession.
Yeah.
We've got to get kids thinking about scoring goals, because that's what it's about. And at the end of the day, that's what's going to determine whether we go to Russia or not, whether we score goals.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know what we do. Because it's, I mean, that's why they've paid the millions of dollars, isn't it, really? Because they can put the ball between the keeper's legs or come in off the inside of the post. And how do they do it? I would love boys to wake up on a Sunday morning knowing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, people were going to be adoring me because I put the ball in the back of the net. You know, like Berisha and some of these other guys who more often than not will score, knowing full well that you're going to score and people are going to love you and you're going to go and do a belly slide in the corner.
I used to love that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I used to love it, Wadey.
So
I'd get up and think, I wonder which thigh I'm going to lose all my skin off today.
So if we need goals in tonight, would you start with Timmy or would you start with Djuric up front? Or would you start with them both?
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't start with them both because I don't think either of them are very mobile. I watched Tim Cahill and I'm thinking, what is it about him? And you know what? He doesn't do a lot of work outside of that 18-yard box.
Yeah.
He really doesn't. He's waiting for that ball that comes into the 18-yard box, and it might drop to his feet or it might come to his head, and that's where he's an absolute genius. But I don't know.
Where you were, Paul, when you played, you thrived on balls getting knocked into the box and you going in with those brave, towering headers and punching the ball in the back of the net. And there's another $20 that you owe us. But would you be frustrated playing in a team that's not knocking in those crosses?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was talking to Warren Spink the other day, and he said, just before we played the US, which we beat them 1-0, we had a practice match, and all those who were playing, we were all decked out in gold, and all those that weren't were in green. But we didn't have enough players to actually fill a team. So we had Mike Cockrell and Ray Gatt, and they were all playing for the stiffs. What we call the stiffs, those who are not playing, right? So we were practicing free kicks. He's got Mike Cockrell in there and a few of the other guys. And we were trying to ping a ball to the far post in these free kicks where I was supposed to get up and head it back. And we tried about 10 of them and they didn't work. And the one that came over right on my scone, I think it Laurie Schwab, has jumped up and punched it away. What Eddie Thompson went absolutely nuts. He said, "I want all these journalists off this." Well, I can't repeat what he said, but wow, it took us ages. It took me ages. I didn't score many goals. In fact, out of 115 appearances, I only got 11. Yeah, it's frustrating to see what the boys do today. I mean, it's not as if they got a job, is it?
So would you say then? Would you say that then tonight, if we are going to have Lecky in the team, we'd want him to be looking at not only passing the ball and keeping possession, but we really want him to attack down that flank and knocking in and whipping in crosses. Would you say?
Yeah, yeah, dead right. And then we can get either who is it, Matt Yearman or Sainsbury to cover that area that Lecky just left, and we'll get Jedinak to drop into the middle where whoever it might be, Bailey Wright, whoever leaves that central three goes out to the right, and then Jedinak drops in. That's how it's supposed to work. If that happens, and if it works, it looks really good. It really does. It's just the biggest problem with this lot tonight is, and I was, as we said, we're very disappointed about their performance, as were they, that one ball over the top, boys. You don't need to be a genius. You need to be very quick and gamble. One ball over the top, one-on-one with the keeper. We know what happened in 1997, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
2-0 up, 20 minutes to go, one ball over the top, bang.
Trouble.
Dream over.
Hey, Wadey, we know you've got to go. You've got other commitments tonight. But before you do, we're interviewing Les Scheinpflug in the second hour tonight.
Fluggers. Can you imagine the players playing under Fluggers? That would be frightening. They quit. They would. They say, "I'm not playing." That's
it. What was he like as a coach? You might have played with him once or twice with the Socceroos when he was in caretaker mode. What was he like?
Yeah, he was always joking around, but you didn't know if he was joking or not. He had a stone face. So when he said something to you that was pretty cutting, you didn't know whether to laugh at him and punch him on the arm as if to say, "Oh, you're joking, boss," or whether you should actually take it seriously. And speaking of boss, because that's what he liked to be called, right?
Yeah.
And I can't remember what player came down and maybe he came into camp and he said, "Les," and he goes, "You don't call me Les, you call me boss." And that player said, "There's only one boss, that's Bruce Springsteen." Now, that guy never played for Australia again.
Who was it?
Oh, honestly, I can't remember. If I could, I would honestly tell you.
Yeah.
Maybe you could ask him.
Somebody
said, "G'day, Les."
I'm going to ask him.
Yeah, you call me boss. You call me boss. You must call me boss. No, what an absolute gentleman, though. Once you get to know him, he's not as frightening as everybody makes out. But if you're 17 years of age going into the the young Socceroos or the Joeys, you are not going to argue with Les Scheinfeld.
Wadey, thanks so much for being a part of the pregame show here on Football Nation Radio. We really appreciate it.
Good on you, boys. Keep up the good work. See ya.
An absolute pleasure, Paul. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Paul Wade there, captain Socceroo, played many, many caps for the Socceroos and, of course, captained the Socceroos for more games than anybody else in the history of Australian football. We're going to take a break in. After the break, Josip Skoko.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. With thanks to the Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions, this is The Road to Russia. Honduras versus the Socceroos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Oh, Ian, that music has got me fired up. Are you fired up?
It's bubbling. It's bubbling.
We've got Josip coming on in just a couple of minutes. He's on his way to wherever he's watching the game. So as soon as he gets out of the car, we're going to have him on the show. But in the meantime, Ian, Honduras on the weekend, we've talked about it a little bit, but their performance was insipid. I'm sure they're going to put in a better performance tonight. Nice flat surface, nice conditions, nice weather. It'd be impossible for them to put in a worse performance again.
Well, I'm curious to see whether they are going to play through the middle. They played an awful lot of long balls on the weekend, and long balls are not bad if you can actually hit the targets. But Saturday, they were just speculative balls forward. They hardly hit a player. The balls were just going through to our keeper or to our back three. So whether or not they actually are going to continue with that, they've got the wide flank players who are quite quick. But they didn't hit them anywhere near them. So whether or not they're going to keep on with that style or if they're going to play on the floor, move the ball, rotate the ball quickly, the worrying thing is that because we don't know much about them, we can't really compare that Saturday was their normal style of play. So yeah, they could come out tonight and shock the whole system. We hope not, but it's just something which is a little bit of a worry that they played so poorly on Saturday. Are they going to have a completely different game plan tonight?
We spoke about speedy wingers. Of course, Albert Ellis comes into the side tonight for Honduras, and he does provide them with a lot of pace down that wing, which is why I'm thinking that Aziz Beige may get the run down there tonight. And, of course, Maynor Figueroa, the captain, their central defender, their leader, comes in there to shore up the back line. So it's not going to be as easy as it was on Saturday, when we still couldn't put the ball in the back of the net.
Yep.
But on home soil and with our record over the past couple of seasons in Australia, you'd think we'd get the job done. Now, the Honduras coach has been, he's been incredibly outspoken since he's got here to Australia, Jorge Luis Pinto. He's creating a siege mentality within the camp. There's no doubt about that. There's the drone that was flying over the training paddock, which has been proven to just be a kid and a dad in the park next door, but he's using it to fire his team up. He accused the Australians of checking for bugs in the change rooms and at the training facilities in Honduras. He's accused Honduran journos of leaking information to the Socceroos over there in Honduras. He's really doing everything he can to fire up his team and just create this bubble of, I don't know, aggression in the team ready for the game tonight.
I think it's purely a case they've had a bad performance. They're coming away from home. It's going to be a very intimidating crowd. I think he's trying to create a bit of a siege mentality. I think he's trying to get his players to think that the whole of the world's against them, that they are people cheating behind the actual scenes. He's trying to do everything possible to fire his team up because, to be truthful, on Saturday, he didn't get the players fired up. So this could be his ploy. Maybe we will see drones flying across the stadium. Maybe we should put them up to put them off. Who knows?
Who knows? I've got another theory about his behaviour since arriving in Australia, and that his job is firmly on the line. I mean, if the Honduras coach goes down to Australia, which according to reports in their media, is a team beneath them in terms of football, then he's going to have some serious questions asked of his ability to coach a side whether he, well, he clearly won't keep his job with Honduras, but then future jobs might be in jeopardy for him as well. So I've got a theory that he's actually just throwing out excuses out there, hatching conspiracies about why they're going to lose. So he's got excuses ready made for when the game is over tonight.
Well, if he loses, he might not even go back to Honduras. He might be seeking political asylum here. You never know.
Well, we're straight back to Colombia, where he's from. But that's just my theory. I think he's making excuses for when the game finishes and Honduras are out of the World Cup. We've got a very special guest on the phone right now. He played 51 times for the Socceroos. He was part of that magical night in 2005. He's been in this situation before, 97 against Iran, 01 against Uruguay, and then, as I just mentioned, 05 against Uruguay as well. Of course, I'm talking about Josip Skoko. Josip, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Good. Yes, I'm good, thanks.
We're good, thanks. It's Chris Appleford and Ian Greener here in the studio, mate. The boys are probably arriving in the change rooms as we speak, or they've probably been in there for 15 or 20 minutes or so. Can you give us a bit of an insight into what the players will be feeling right now leading into the final game of a World Cup qualifying campaign where it's a winner-take-all, last-man-standing style game?
Yeah, well, I think they're getting through their last set of nerves. Yeah, I think they're at their wit's end. They just want to get out there and get the game played, because it's a long wait, you know, match day, long wait, especially when you play at 8 in the evening. And I think, you know, everything's been done. The prep's been done. They're probably in the change rooms starting their little pre-activations or some sort of warm-up or strapping or whatever. So they're set, and I think they can't wait to get out to warm up.
Can you recall what it was like in the change rooms before that game in 05? Were there players who were, you could just tell, were so nervous? Were there players who you thought couldn't possibly be comprehending the magnitude of the game? They were so laid back. Was there music being played? Were there jokes being told? What was it like in the change room in 05?
Oh, look, I think that, you know, people deal with nervousness differently. Some listen to music, some are cracking jokes, whatever. But I think the underlying factor is that everybody is very nervous. And anybody who tells you different isn't telling the truth. It's a huge occasion. Nerves are a healthy part of it. You know, you want to be a little bit nervous, you know, so when you get out there, it means something to you. So you get out and give it your best. But yeah, sure, some people deal with it better. Some are a little bit cooler than others, and some are more confident than others. But look, it was a pretty confident change room back then. Everybody, like I said just now, they were doing the preps, doing what they needed to do, which is a good thing. You know, when you've got things to do, things to prepare, it keeps you a little bit occupied and you sort of don't have to think about it as much. So it's a very nervy time, but I think we were quietly confident back then, and I'm sure the boys are tonight.
So what would your routine normally be, Josip, prior to a big game like this, from actually walking into the changing room? How would you prepare for this game tonight?
Well, I used to like to go out in the field and check that field out and spend a little bit more time out there, just walking around, soaking up the atmosphere a little bit. You know, there might be some people in the stadium already and that sort of thing. And then once you walk in, you know, the next time you go out, it's warm up and then you're sort of ready to go. So get back in there and do your little bits and pieces of tape. If you need a little rub down, I used to like to loosen the legs up a little bit. And then just the last bits and pieces of gear, you know, from your shinies, make sure everything's right. I didn't like to wear new socks, so I was always hassling the kit man to get me a pair of worn socks or pre-washed ones. So there was always something to think about, something to do. And, you know, if you had done everything, then you'd just be chatting or going, you know, looking over the set plays and making sure that you knew what you had to do on the night. So, you know, it was a nervy time, but there was always things to do and to make sure you're occupied before you get out for the warm-up.
And in your days, would there have been many players sitting there with the headphones on and listening to music and motivational tapes or not?
Probably not as much as today, but sure, yeah, already especially by 2005. Look, we always listen to music, even from way back. Music's a big part, I think, of your motivation and keeping calm and all that sort of thing. So that's always part of it. But yeah, it certainly has got more and more. We certainly didn't walk off the bus listening to music and things like that like they do today. We'd do it on the bus or in the change room, whatever. But so it has changed a little bit, but yeah, it's still a big part of it, as it was back in the day.
And with the game tonight, Yusuf, have you got strong views on the actual selection of which players would come in from the weekend? Have you got a strong lineup in your mind?
Well, not really. I think it's very difficult when you're not there on the ground, when you don't know what's happened in the last 2 weeks. You know, you're in the camp, then you've got a pulse on you know, who's playing well, who's got a niggle, who's fit to go, what sort of team you need to be. I think it, you know, when you play in those countries, like the away game, you need a very mobile team because it's hot. You know, you need to have a lot of run, and I think that team did have it, the Australian team. Now it's going to be a little bit different, sort of temperature, a little bit of a different game. So, you know, I think then you have to pick the players for that. I think you need tonight players to get a goal for you, so which is obvious. So I think we might need to go a little bit more creative. But apart from that, I know Ange and the team there, I think that they sort of know what they need to do, and I'm sure that he'll pick the team to do the job, and I think he'll certainly leave something up the sleeve for the last half an hour if it goes down to the wire.
Hey, Yusuf, much has been made of the flight back from Honduras to Australia. I think the media went a bit overboard and it was covered a little bit too much. But comparatively to when you came back from Uruguay in 05, how does it compare? Were you chartered a flight? Did you have all sorts of physios and doctors on board? Did you have any technology to help you recover? How did yours compare?
Yeah, I think we had everything that they had, except obviously there's technology's gone its way, you know, forward, so they might have a few different things. But we certainly had our massages, we had a recovery, we knew when we had to sleep and when we had to stay awake and things like that. So I think the principles were the same. It was a chartered flight as well, so we did have all the comforts. And I think they're just doing everything that needed to be done because some people don't understand how much this means to the sport, not just financially, but in terms of going forward. And I think, it was very justified in 2005, what was done and how the sport took off after. And I think that, you have to go to whatever lengths are reasonable to prepare the players the best, because we know it's not just about getting through, it's about, the next 10 years of the sport or the next 5 years. So I think it's very important that you can do, tick all the boxes and do everything you can to be ready for it and give it a good crack.
What did you make of the Socceroos' performance on Saturday? Did you feel like it was a good performance?
Sure, I thought it was a really solid performance. You know, I think that I feel that if they had got the goal, they would have got the plaudits for the game they played. They didn't get the goal, and I think that's where people might say they didn't play as well as they might. But if they had scored one or two, I think everybody would have looked at it differently. So I think, they didn't do a credit to themselves by not getting the goal, and that sort of put a dampener on the performance. But I think under those conditions and the way they went out and the way they stopped Honduras from being in the game at all, I think they did a great job.
Have you got a prediction for us tonight?
Oh, predictions are very difficult, but look, these games are—they're a weird, weird beast, and you just don't know what's going to happen. But look, I'm confident. I know the boys have got the quality. I just hope that they be brave and that we attack and get some goals and really go for it, because you don't want to, end up after 90 minutes losing a game that you haven't given everything. So I just hope they're brave and they have a crack.
From the qualification in 2005. Can we just go forward to the MCG in 2006 with the Greece game prior to when you actually went to the World Cup? Can you actually talk us through that goal?
Oh, that was one of those where, that was a nervy game as well, because everyone was fighting for positions and, nobody knew who'd be there or who wouldn't be in terms of starting 11. So it was a big game. And the goal, it just sort of came to me, and I think one came to you not that long before that in a sort of similar way. So that was my position, and the way it came in, it was just, it sort of took me by surprise, and I just hit it. I mean, we've always been taught edge of the box, hit it, no matter where it goes in the stand, better than losing the ball on the edge of the box, and that one just happened to sit perfectly. And the rest is history, so it was a really sweet moment.
Well, I've got to say that's probably one of the greatest international goals scored at the MCG. It was magnificent.
No doubt about it. Hey, Yossi, one last thing before you go, mate. When we get the win tonight, you've experienced this before. What will the celebrations in the change rooms be like?
Well, I'm not sure if John Travolta's there tonight, but there was plenty of champagne flowing and plenty of singing and messing around, you know, something that that you'll never forget. Awesome feeling and yeah, especially that time when you know, the drought was broken after so many years. But I'm sure that no matter what happens, if there's a victory tonight, it will be enjoyed by all and especially the boys.
Hey, Josip, thanks very much for joining us here on our pre-game show for the Socceroos v Honduras game on FNR Football Nation Radio. Enjoy your night, wherever it might be that you are taking in the game, and we'll have you back here on the station soon, no doubt about it.
Thanks, guys. You're welcome. And, yeah, hopefully we're all celebrating tonight.
Cheers, Josip. Thank you. Bye.
Josip Skoko there, 51 caps for the Socceroos. And what a servant he was for Australian football. Did his job no matter what was asked of him, whether it was starting, whether it was defensive midfield, whether it was getting a bit further forward, whether it was sitting on the bench and coming on later. He just did his job and he was a really great Socceroos servant.
He was a great player, really, really good player. He was consistent, and that goal from the MCG in 2006 still sticks in my mind. It was an absolute corker.
All right, Ian, we're going to take a break. When we come up after the break, we're going to wrap up this first hour and let our listeners know what's coming up in hour two. Stick around here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
FNR Football Nation Radio. With thanks to the Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions, this is The Road to Russia. Honduras versus the Socceroos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to FNR, the pre-game show for the Socceroos v Honduras tonight at ANZ Stadium in Sydney. It is the next hour before the game, and we've got a big hour to come for you. Of course, we are speaking to Michael Zapponi from Fox Sports, live from ANZ Stadium, and we've got plenty of other guys coming on too. Les Scheinflug, of course, former Socceroos coach, is very exciting, and then we have got a couple of fans who are coming to us live from ANZ Stadium to give a little bit of colour leading into the big clash. That is all coming up in the second hour of the show. So, Ian, we're going to take a break and we'll come back right after this with the second hour of the pre-game show here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Socceroos v Honduras pregame show here on FNR Football Nation Radio. It is a big night here for Australian football, a historical night. A win sees us go through to Russia 2018 and the World Cup there, and it's going to be a huge World Cup next year. A World Cup missing some big, big countries. Four teams in the top 20, I believe, aren't going to be there. Of course, headlined by Italy and, of course, Chile, who are in the top 10. Holland aren't going to be there. The United States are not going to be there. So it is a big cast of countries that are not going to be there. But if Australia can get over Honduras tonight, they will definitely be there in Russia next year. We're going to cross to ANZ Stadium now, where we cross to Fox Sports' Michael Zapponi. Zappers, welcome to the show, mate.
G'day, Chris.
You're at ANZ Stadium. What can you tell us? How's the build-up?
I'm just walking to the stadium at the moment. It is the longest journey I've ever had to go to ANZ. It literally took us over an hour and a half. From the Sydney CBD, we failed to take the advice of the locals and jump on the train. So we got an Uber, and 1 hour and 40 minutes later, we're finally walking towards the stadium now.
You know, if the game was in Melbourne, you just walk from town to the stadium. We could talk about that some other time.
This is exactly what we were saying. The MCG, finish work, and you're there in 5 minutes.
That's it.
Not in Sydney, but the great news is that it is sold out.
Yes.
And it will be a pumping atmosphere in there when we get there in a few minutes. So I'm just walking past the hotel where the Socceroos are staying at, and there were great scenes there a few minutes ago with the Socceroos coming into the stadium and a huge crowd cheering them on as they walked out of their hotel. And it is a sea of gold as I approach the stadium now. And it's a fantastic atmosphere. It's one of those special feelings when you walk into a stadium on a night like this. You just get the sense that it is one of those special nights. It's a night that unites the sport and you just get the sense something special is going to happen again this evening.
Hey, Zappers, the team has been announced, so I'll just run through that now. It's Matty Ryan in goal, of course, a back three of German, Sainsbury and Wright. Sitting in front of the back three is Mark Milligan and Mile Jedinak, Aaron Moy and Tommy Rogic. Behind Timmy Cahill up front, and on the flanks are Aziz Bajic and Matthew Leckie. What do you think of the lineup?
Yeah, I like it. I like the attacking nature of what Ange has brought in. Obviously, Tim Cahill is the one that we've relied on over so many years to score our goals. And we look back a month ago when we played against Syria, and he was the one. He was the difference in the end, wasn't he? And despite his age, he's made for these occasions. And they nursed him through the Honduras first leg, and there was obviously a huge injury cloud over him after he picked up that injury for Melbourne City a couple of weeks ago, and they took the risk and flew him over there, but he's 100% ready to go tonight. And it's not just what he gives you in terms of his finishing and his prowess in front of goal, but it's his leadership qualities. And on big occasions like tonight, you need experienced leaders on the pitch. And Tim Cahill's calming influence in that 11 is certainly something that Ange Postecoglou has needed over the years, and the team benefits from that, there's no doubt.
Any news coming out of the Socceroos camp in terms of what's been going on in the build-up to the game, what's been happening in the last few days? Are they confident? Are they wary of the Hondurans? What have you heard coming out of the camp?
Yeah, look, I think they're confident. They're quietly confident that they can do the job. They're very confident in the system that Ange has implemented over the last few years, and they know that this style of football is something that Ange has really worked hard to implement. And the team, you know, there was a lot of criticism about the back three and the players. You could just see them struggling with that system initially, but I think in the last few games, we've seen the players adapt and be a lot more comfortable with that. So I think they're comfortable and confident that they can get the job done tonight. And they've had that extra time, of course, to settle here with 24 hours up their sleeves. And there'll be 24 hours that makes a big difference. You know, Honduras had to fly, of course. We've heard about how they got here, and the Socceroos were dealt, given everything that they need to make sure that they're performing to the best of their ability tonight. So I think there's something that the camp has been talking about over the last few days is just the preparation has been spot on, and they're feeling like they're ready to go.
Zappers, hi. It's Ian Greener here. How are you?
Hi, Ian. I'm well. How are you?
Good. With the opponents tonight, do you think that they'll play a different style? And do you know much about them? Because Saturday, they just seem to be booting the ball along, that they never attempted to play through the middle. And we played really well on Saturday. Can you see them changing? And do you have any information on them?
Yeah, Ian, you're probably a more astute coach than what I am, sure you are. You could probably offer some more insight than I could on this one. But I was really surprised with just how poor they were, and how they let the Socceroos dictate the game on their home soil. So it was something that really surprised me, and they didn't use those conditions to their advantage. And I was really underwhelmed with what I saw from the Honduran national team. Now, do they take that same style of game into the game tonight? I think they sit back and they will probably look to absorb the pressure. And what we did see, the one positive, if you're a Honduran fan, was they looked dangerous on the counter-attack. So I think in transition, they've got some players who are very, very quick up front, and that's where they looked at their most dangerous. So if the Socceroos need to worry, that's where I think the Achilles heel might be. Their pace going forward, their ability to break quickly and score on the counter has been something that they've used to their advantage. But their record away from home during this World Cup qualifying campaign has been very poor. And that was highlighted by a 6-0 loss to the USA in their group stages. So everything's pointing towards Socceroos win tonight. I don't want to be overly confident, but I just get the sense that this side, the Socceroos, are too strong for Honduras.
But I think that you are spot on with the counter-attacking. That could be our problem, but I think that Ange's team tonight's perfect because he's got the protection of the back three with with Milligan and Jednak, and then he's got Lecky wide on the right and Bajic on the left. So I think he's got that sort of protection. But it's still a very attacking team. So I think it's just the perfect team to play tonight.
And Aziz Bajic was super impressive, I thought, in the first leg. You know, he's been playing regularly in Turkey, and he's a player who we've expected a lot from over the years. Never really got to the levels we thought he would, but you can just tell that he's matured a lot as a footballer, and his energy along that left side on Saturday night was outstanding. He was involved in a lot of the good play going forward, and that regular football in a very strong league in Europe has done him the world of good.
Hey, Zappa, I think Aziz Bajic, the selection of Aziz Bajic tonight is really important given Albert Ellis comes back into the side for Honduras, an incredibly fast right winger. So I think Aziz Bajic will play a huge role in the game tonight. Now, before we let you go, I know you want to get into the stadium. I know you want to soak up the atmosphere, but I've got to ask, any news on Ange's future? Has he told you anything? Have you got a FNR exclusive?
No exclusive. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Chris, but it will be interesting tonight should we get through.
The
question will be asked, and I reckon he won't spoil the occasion by talking about his future tonight. If he wants to say anything about his future, he'll wait a few days for things to settle down and let Australian football bask in its glory and then take it from there.
Hey, Zappa, thanks so much for joining us here on the pregame show at FNR. Enjoy your night there at ANZ Stadium, and I hope at the end of the 90 minutes you'll be singing songs and jumping up and down and joining in the festivities with the rest of the crowd there.
Thanks, boys. See you later.
Cheers, Zappa. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Michael Zapponi there from Fox Sports, and he is at the ground there soaking up the atmosphere. It's great to chat to somebody there at the ground. We're going to be chatting with a couple of fans later on in the show, Ian, which will be very exciting for us and for them. But in the meantime, we're going to have a chat with Socceroos coach, former Socceroos coach Les Scheinflug right after the break. I like the look of the side. Last time we played in Australia against Syria, Ian, you can remember it was a day of conversation and arguments and constructive chat about Aaron Moy not being selected and what was Ange doing and why had he gone down this path, and a few other selections were a bit confusing as well on that night. But just looking at that team on paper, I think he's nailed it in terms of balance, protecting the back, protecting the goal. I remember Husinink saying something like, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, when he had Harry Kewell on the bench for the Uruguay game, is that he said something like, you can't win the tie in the first half, but you can certainly lose it against a team like Uruguay. And I think maybe Ange has gone out with that mindset. Let's not concede, particularly in the first half, and let's see what we can do at the other end.
Well, I think when the news filters through to the crowd that's the actual team that's going out, I think everybody's going to be right behind the team from the first whistle. So I think the atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric.
We're going to take a break now, Ian. After the break, we're going to chat to former Socceroos coach Les Scheinflug, and I want to know who it was who said the only boss is Bruce Springsteen.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. With thanks to the Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions, this is The Road to Russia. Honduras versus the Socceroos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the pregame show here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Chris Appleford with you, as well as Ian Greener in the studio. If you want to follow us on Twitter, don't forget you can follow us at FNR_radio, and you can follow me as well at Chris Appleford. And straight after the pregame show at 8 o'clock, we're going to be taking the live Fox Sports broadcast of the massive, massive clash between the Socceroos and the Hondurans for a place at next year's World Cup in Russia. And who better to talk to than a former Socceroos coach about qualification and being in these sorts of scenarios? Of course, I talk none other than Les Scheinflug. Les, welcome to FNR.
I'm happy to be talking to you. And so, how are you, Ian Greener?
Hiya, Les. How are you?
Good on you.
Les, before we get into the game tonight, we interviewed Paul Wade earlier, and I asked him about what it was like playing for you. It was very complimentary, but he told us a story of a young, he couldn't remember the name of the guy, but a young player had come into the Socceroos squad for the first time, and he called you Les, and you said, "It's not Les, it's Boss." And the young Socceroo said, "There's only one boss, and that is Bruce Springsteen." And Paul Wade said the guy was never seen in a Socceroo squad again. So tell me, can you remember? Can you remember that?
Yeah, I think Paul Wade is dreaming. number one, he lost his marbles, right? Because Bruce Springsteen was not is younger than I am. First of all, so I was a boss first, right?
Yes.
So I'm only joking, but no, I wouldn't drop anybody for calling me boss. But you see, that's what we need here with the national teams, with all the national teams. We need discipline. And that's the reason why people had to call me boss and they had to say good morning, good afternoon, and so on. Well, let's go back to this match tonight, I think. I'm sure that everybody's excited, but I would say if we act as we should with every national team, we are not scared of anybody. And the harder the game, the bigger the effort by the players. Australian players like to go forward. They like to score goals. And I think what Postecoglou has to do is he mostly has to stick to his plan of three defenders, and he includes Milligan, Jerinek, Lecky, Adam Moy, and Rosic. And I would apply Juric from the start and then bring Kyle on, or play both Kyle and Juric together, because you see what we need to go wide. We need to get crosses in for Kyle. That's his strength. He can't sprint away from anybody no more.
Yeah.
So, and Juric is good in the air. So if you would have had two wide players like Lecky and maybe even say Goodwin or Cruz.
Yeah, Robbie Cruz, yep.
To get crosses in, would be perfect, you see. We can afford to play with Sainsbury and Juma in the back and play Milligan as a right wing back, and can afford to put Adam Moy a bit deeper, you understand, and so we can bring in Juric. But I'm sure it will happen in the second half, that he will play both strikers if Kyle is still all right. But I think it should be a game where I didn't see anything which would tell me that they can hurt us, you understand. And they played at home. They couldn't put four passes together. Even so, we didn't play as well as we could, but we could have been 3-0 up instead of having a 0-0 draw.
Les, if you'd been the boss on Saturday and your team had dominated as much as we did and missed those chances, would you have been happy with a 0-0 draw, or would you have been a little bit disappointed?
I would be very disappointed, because the chances were there anyhow. You only had to score one at least. Then they have to score two up here, which is I don't think they can do. But let's put it this way. I think there's still enough time there. We got some fresh players. We got all around fresher team than they have. And I think we are a better team. So long as we don't play the Dutch football where we play 24 passes in the back four, 24 passes, look in the mirror and have a look if you're still there. And that's why Holland didn't make it in the World Cup. And we copy them. Come on, let's play our own style, get going with the simplicity. Soccer is simple. The more simple you play, the more success you will have. And that's what happens. I just watched today a game between France and Germany. You should have seen the ball passes, the passes. You see intelligent players. And soccer is for intelligent people.
What would you have said to the players in the change rooms after the game on Saturday? Would you have been angry? Would you have been calm and measured? What would your reaction have been?
See, the worst thing is when you let your feelings go straight after the game, you make mistakes and you can get into trouble with players and make statements which you will regret. I think let us settle down. Next day, you see a video and you got another opinion again. And naturally, I would make him aware of where the problem lies. But you have to be able to correct him without it being too angry, you understand?
Mm. Much has been made of the chartered flight back from Honduras, the cutting-edge technology, all of that sort of stuff, the doctors and physios they had on their chartered flight. What were the recovery strategies you had in place for the long-haul flights that you and your Socceroo teams came back on from far-flung places in the Middle East and so forth?
First of all, that $1 million they spent, you would have been all right for 2 years of preparation. We would have been sitting near the toilet seat on the plane, right? Right? Never business class. But we had character, we had discipline, we had a desire to be successful. So we didn't worry about the money. Some of these players getting phenomenal money. Good luck to them, they deserve it because they're getting paid. Clubs want to throw the money around. But Soccer Australia, I mean, just because it worked once, it's good hitting that they hired a plane, right? And it worked out well. Actually, if you got the money, you can throw around. But I hear from very good sources, it doesn't look so good at Football Federation of Australia, money-wise.
Yeah, so spending $1 million on flights and technology maybe could have been money spent elsewhere. Is that what you're saying?
With juniors, definitely juniors. Yeah, I think we have to start working again with juniors. You see what happened to Italy. They gave all the juniors away. They done nothing, only imported players. We have to start preparing our young kids again. And it's the same. That money could have been invested in some part for the juniors. But no, do anything in the moment. Everything has to be done to get the national team to the World Cup. That's fine.
Les, would you think it's vital to score in the first 15 minutes tonight?
That's why I would say yes. I think if we play our own style of football, right, because we don't know how to defend as well as we like to attack. So let's play our game, go forward, put them under pressure, don't let them off the hook, and you will see it will come. But if once you start playing the ball around, like I said before, the Dutch and Belgium way is knocking the ball around the back 20 times. Our own players fall asleep. So let's play the Australian way and let's play the simple way, get the ball wide. You've got Lecky, who's got speed to burn. You've got Cruz, who got speed to burn. You've got Rosic, who is not a very skillful player. Aaron Moy is a skillful player. And you've got Jedinek and Milligan in the midfield to hold the midfield together. Let Aaron Moy and John Thomas Rosic feed Kyle and Matthew Lecky. So I'm sure Rosic has to be next to Timmy Kyle at all times.
So
to be the second striker.
So, Les, should tonight's game not go the way planned and it's still 0-0, from your point of view, would you take off Cahill and bring on Urich, or would you look at bringing on Urich to work with Cahill? Would that be your style, do you think?
I would have from the beginning put on Kyle and Urich. You see, ball's good in the air. As you noticed, every corner, every cross which come in, last time in Honduras, they were shaking, the goalkeeper shaky, and the defenders are shaking. Test them early with both of them, right? Leave one defender out and put Milligan in the back three, you understand it? So I still would have worked out perfectly. So that's what I would have done. But, I mean, he is there. He knows his player. We have to show respect to the opposition, but don't be frightened of them. Australian players have never been afraid of anybody. I remember we being in Portugal, 107 people there against Portugal, and as soon as they started screaming, we grew another inch. You see. So the same, Australian players love the atmosphere, and the harder the game is, the more they perform better.
Hey, Les, you were the Socceroos coach from 1981 to 83, but then you had four goes as caretaker, you know, a game here, two games there. What was that all about? Didn't you want it full-time?
No, you know, because I gave the game away as a national coach, because once I gave it to Frank Arrow, which I didn't believe in his tactics, I lost the desire to be in charge of the Socceroos, you see, because he had a different philosophy altogether. And that's why I started with under-20s and so on. And I helped, always helped Eddie Thompson and all the other coaches, except Frank Arrow. I didn't see any reason why I should help him, because he was not a soccer person. He was a good magician with his mouth.
How did your philosophies differ? How did your philosophies differ?
Simply, he was the only screaming when the camera came along, and he was spitting on the ground when He never looked at the game properly. He was never part of the game. He didn't know the game. He was listening to too many other people. Every time we went to Yugoslavia, he brought new ideas back for the preseason training, for national team training, and so on. So it was a different ball game. Anyhow, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something. The soccer rules, which I believe they should win and win easy.
The coach of the Honduran side, Les, has been coming up with all kinds of stories. He's been saying about there's been drones going over to try and take video footage, that they haven't been treated well. Is this a ploy, do you think, by him to get his team fired up? Because the one thing which I noticed from the game on Saturday, that there didn't seem to be any real enthusiasm or leadership within their team.
No, that's correct. And I think most coaches come up with something like this to get the players in the right frame of mind. He says, "Oh, we're getting spied on, and we are the underdogs, we are called criminals, and so on." So, and you see what happens, they will perform, and they will try to fight and show them who they are. And it's important that the players do what they can do best, and I think both teams can play much better than they did in the first game.
Can you think of any game, Les, when you were a national coach, whether it was with the Socceroos or the 17s or the 20s, was there any game that you can think of where you had a ploy to try and get the players fired up?
I would say in Mexico, we played in Mexico in the World Cup with under 20s, and you couldn't get any information through because the stadium was full. We were late, hour and a half late. We couldn't get any message to the players, so what we did is we told our physio, our players, who was nearest to the bench, every minute so to look around, and we tell them to go down so Charlie can put a message on. So you have to try things. And I know the South Americans, for them it's life or death. I'm sure that, I don't know if the players in certain countries, they get enough sleep because the fans make plenty of noise, but they're not allowed to sleep.
Les, what's your prediction tonight?
The prediction is hard to say. If you score first, it could be anything from 3 to 5.
Les Schoenflug, thank you so much for being a part of our preview show here on FNR. Always a pleasure having you on the show, and we'll have you on again in the future.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye. Great to talk, Les. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Les Schoenflug there, former Socceroos coach. I've got no doubt he has got a million stories to tell.
Plenty of stories.
About all sorts of teams. Because he took his teams to some incredible locations around the world.
And I was fortunate to actually work with Les, with the under-17 squad, for when they had their camps here. We used to have our national championships. We'd actually pick our Joey squad, and then we'd stay behind for 4 days in Canberra and work with Les, and it was just a pleasure. Les has got a character when he's on view on the radio, TV, but one-on-one, he is an incredible guy that sometimes people don't see that side of Les Schoenflug. He's a football fanatic, he's passionate, and he just talks an awful lot of sense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we're going to take a break, Ian. You're going to go because you have got somewhere to be to watch the game. Thank you so much for being a part of the pre-game show. I really appreciate you stepping in again.
Absolute pleasure. I'm going to make a record drive from here to one turn.
Fingers crossed.
Thanks very much. Go the Socceroos.
Fingers crossed. All right, we're going to take a break here. Plenty more coming up right after this.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, welcome back to the pre-game show here for the Socceroos v Honduras clash from ANZ Stadium. We are 25 minutes away. Of course, we're taking a live broadcast of the Fox Sports commentary right here on FNR. Thank you to Fox Sports for allowing us to do that. 25 minutes to go, and we are going to cross to ANZ Stadium right now, where we're going to talk to Michael and get some real atmosphere from a fan of the Socceroos live from the ground. Michael.
How are you guys?
How are you, mate? Tell us what it's like there.
That's amazing. It's electrifying today. It's green and gold everywhere. We've just walked into the stadium. Everyone's starting to walk in now. The nerves are kicking in, definitely.
So is it a sea of green and gold? Are there pockets of Honduras fans around the place?
I can see one little pocket and one person sitting behind me.
So all up about 15 Hondurans in the crowd.
Just about.
Hey, Michael, what's the mood like amongst the fans? Have you had a chance to talk to any fans? Is it one of excitement, or is there a bit of nervousness in the crowd there? What's it like?
I think everyone's excited. There's a lot of people, I'm hearing 3-0s, 4-0s, but then you hear that bad word that we all don't want to hear, the Iran word that's been whispered around.
97, Iran, yes, we don't want that. 2-0 up with 15 minutes to go and concede a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Mate, tell us about your day. What have you done?
Came here, I got here about 11:30 this morning. The plane was
You flew in from Melbourne?
Flew in from Melbourne. Arrived in Sydney, the plane was full of green and gold. Walked around the city a bit, speaking to as many people as we could, and then just went and chilled. Changed Socceroos jerseys from the blue one to the green and gold one. And
you went up in the away strip and then you got changed into the home strip?
Exactly. And we'll see which one I'll come home in as well. There's still another two in the bag.
And you've gone to the ground now. You're going to enjoy the game. You're going to celebrate a win at the end should the Socceroos get up. And then what? What are the plans post-match?
Well, let's just hope I make the flight back home to Melbourne tomorrow if we win.
I'm sure. Hey, have you got any other Socceroos fans there by your side?
I've got a few of the boys here, boys. Who's winning today?
why don't you put one of them on for me to have a chat to?
I'll put Marcus on for you. 1 second.
Rightio. Here we go. It's past the parcel up there at ANZ Stadium.
G'day, man. How are you?
Marcus, how are you going? How are you feeling?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Not too bad.
Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I'm quietly confident.
Have you seen the team announced?
Yeah, I've seen the team announcement. I like it. I think it's good. I like Caleb up front. I like Boy and Robbie's playing together. So I think it's good. And Lecky out wide as well. So yeah, I'm just happy Cruz isn't starting.
Not a Robbie Cruz fan?
Not a massive Robbie Cruz fan. But, you just never know. You never know with these guys on a good pitch. You know, they're quick. So, and I don't really know too much about them. They didn't give us much on Saturday morning over there, but you just never know. So, yeah, I'm quietly confident, but it's just the unknown.
Tell us about your day up there in Sydney. You flew up this morning, did you?
I've been here since Monday, so I had with mixed pleasure with work, so it's worked out well. But the city's been a buzz today, so quite a few people around in their scarves and around the pubs. And, yeah, walking in here, we were here 3 weeks ago with Mickey when we played Syria, and it's double, triple the size. You just can't, all the food stalls, they're 20 deep. You can't get a drink outside. You can't get anything. So at the moment, the stadium's actually looking sort of a quarter empty and everyone's still outside. So I'm guessing in the next 10, 15 minutes, it's going to really pack up. It's a full house. It'll be a full house.
Hey, tell us about whether Sydney's really got behind the events. Have you seen a lot of green and gold around the city in the last few days? You've been there since Monday. What's it been like in the city?
I haven't seen much until today. So we were out at a couple of pubs this afternoon and there were plenty guys in suits with scarves and, yeah, there were plenty around today. So everywhere you went, there was definitely a lot of green and gold. So and a lot of Yes T-shirts as well. So it's been a big day today for Australia.
It has been a big day. A win tonight, yeah. And it'll be a win-win for the country today, no doubt. Absolutely. About that.
Absolutely.
Are you inside the ground? Are inside. Have you seen the Socceroos warming up? Have you seen them out on the ground?
Yeah, they're on the other side of us. We're just in front of the rest, so we're about six back on the wing. They're still out here. The Honduras guys have gone inside. And the boys are still having a run around. It's a nice night, nice breeze, especially quite comfortable t-shirt and jeans they need for a jumper at the moment.
Nice. And from your vantage point, did it look like the Socceroos were up for it tonight? Did they look nervous?
Nah, like I said, they're still out here, mate. They look as calm as anything. So, I'm sure they're up for it. Obviously, the flight home and the fact that we got here, you know, a couple of days before the other guys, I think that's going to play a massive part in that last half.
Righto, Marcus, what's your prediction tonight?
I'd like to say I reckon 3-0.
3-0?
I think we'll get an early one and then the second half will...
we'll finish them off.
Marcus, I think you're right. I think it'll be 3-0 as well. Mate, thanks so much for your time.
Not a problem. I'll put you back on to Mickey.
Enjoy. No, don't worry about Mickey. I'm not interested in Mickey anymore.
All right, dude. Enjoy.
I'm just going to say goodbye. There enjoy you your night, mate. Yeah. And here's there hoping you're celebrating at the end of the 90 minutes. All right, from two fans up there at ANZ Stadium, let's go to our third fan to find out what Athos is up to, mate. Athos, are you there? Are you outside the ground? Are you inside the ground? Set the scene for us.
Well, I'm actually a bit further out from the ground. I'm at the train station, at the central station. There have been a few delays, but hopefully the train should come any second now, so should get on there and then hopefully make kickoff.
Oh, that Sydney public transport foiling us again.
Yes, exactly right. Apparently there was a tree blocking the track, so I had to clear that up. And I don't know whether that's a point from the Hondurans to put us off a bit, but we'll definitely make it before the halftime, I think.
Maybe. Hey, tell us what it's been like. What's the atmosphere like around you? Are the platforms full of green and gold?
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely buzzing here in Sydney at the train station. A lot of green and gold. I think just about everyone that was on the last train was green and gold. They crammed them in like sardines. We tried to squeeze in, but they didn't let us. So it's shaping up to be an absolute cracking contest.
How's your day been? What did you get up to today? Did you fly up today?
No, we flew up yesterday, did a bit of sightseeing yesterday, and we spent the day in Manly today, and then we thought we'd given ourselves enough time to get to the ground, but looks like we should have left a few minutes earlier.
Have you seen the team? What do you think of Ange's choice tonight?
No, I actually haven't seen the lineup.
Well, for those who haven't heard it, we're 18 minutes out from the game. We've got Ryan in goal, German, Sainsbury and Wright in the back three. Milligan and Jednak protecting the back three. Moy and Rogic in the midfield there. Bajic on the left, Lecky on the right, and Tim Cahill up front. What do you think of that lineup?
Well, look, he's clearly looking to get an early goal. I think they'll look to put a few balls into Cahill because he's the type of player that'll cause a bit of chaos. A few chaos balls early on. If we can get an early goal and just really settle the nerves, I think that'd be brilliant. And then maybe bring Juric on again, who's another one of those chaos players.
Mate, are you there with any fans? Who are you with?
I'm here with Nick from Templestowe.
Ah, stick Nick from Templestowe on. I want to have a talk to him.
No worries, Nick.
Hello.
Nick from Templestowe. How are you going, mate? How's the atmosphere up there? Are you excited or are you nervous?
I am stressed out, to be honest, because just like us, we are still here at this train station and I'm not very happy because, number one, we got stuck in peak hour traffic on the way back to our hotel, and then on the way to the train station, our Uber driver was stuck in traffic as well, and now a train's fallen on the train line. So it's been very hectic, but I'm sure as excited as a lot of Socceroos fans here.
Well, we had Michael Zapponi on the show earlier in the hour, and he got an Uber, and it took him an hour and 40 in his Uber to get to the ground, but he's finally there, mate. I'm sure you'll get there. Do you think you'll get there before the game starts?
Well, look, it's 7:45 at the moment. Kickoff's in about 15.
Yep.
The train was supposed to be about a minute ago. There's no sign of it anywhere unless it's some sort of ghost train or something. But nothing that we can see. But, you know, a lot of the Socceroos fans right now are all just waiting eagerly. You know, everyone's starting to get a little bit edgy. But I'm sure as I'm excited, I'm really confident about tonight.
Yeah, I'm confident too, mate. Hey, what's your prediction for tonight's game?
Well, I think that this game will get... Well, I have a feeling it's going to go to extra time. I think that we'll get a win 1-0 in extra time.
1-0 in extra time. Nil all at full time.
I think Honduras are going to play a very negative game and try and just sit back and defend the rest of the one, and then basically we're going to get a late goal and get the win. I think Timmy's going to come up big late.
Well, fingers crossed. That would be an extraordinary game, and I've got no doubt that the stadium will just... You know why I think that you're hoping for extra time? Because you're going to miss the first half hour of the game.
Oh, I really do hope so. I want to see as much of it as I can. I've paid money to come up here from Melbourne, so I'm hoping that we get to see as much as we can.
Well, mate, enjoy your night. Here's hoping you're celebrating at the end of the 120 minutes, according to you, and enjoy your trip home.
No worries. Thank you.
The boys up there in Sydney are ready to go. It is going to be a big night up there at ANZ Stadium. We are going to take a break here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come back with the last 10 minutes in the build-up to the Socceroos v Honduras clash at ANZ Stadium.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to FNR, Football Nation Radio, for the pre-game show leading into the Socceroos v Honduras clash at ANZ Stadium. The final game on the road to Russia 2018. And in the studio with me now, in the build-up, the last 12 minutes is Carlos Alberto Diego. Carlos, can you feel the excitement?
Yeah, Cactus, I've been hiding. That's why the last 12 minutes, this is getting very, very close now. Look, you're young. You're a young man.
I'm not young.
You are a young man. You're younger than me. I've been through glorious failures time and time again. I keep on referring back to 97. I don't know, how old were you in 97? You're a youngster.
No, I was 24.
But you were just out of primary school. Yeah, but you were just out of primary school. You really didn't know what was going on.
I wasn't kept back that many times. Okay,
so you are old. Anyway, I suppose I've gone through a little bit of heartache in the past. And, I suppose until we can do the job tonight, and I expect on paper, this team can do it. I mean, it's a really well-balanced side. I really like the look of it. I like the idea of Timmy Cahill starting.
Yeah.
If you're going to do some impact, get it nice and early. Why throw him on later and he's got to do his business in 20 minutes? Give him every opportunity, and they've done that. Matthew Lecky's in the team. I like the fact that Matthew Lecky in the last game against Syria did cross the ball where Timmy, put it away with his head. You need good, accurate crosses of the ball, and Matthew Lecky's one of those. As is Bates, is another one. I think he's still in the side there. Yeah, he's still there. So I think it's just a wonderful balance about this side. And they're focused. Of course, we heard Ange Postecoglou talk yesterday about how it was really, really important for us to understand how focused they are. And he was focused, and the players are focused. And we played well last Saturday in Honduras on a minefield. So for me,
it's all set up.
It's all set up. But this is football.
Yes.
Cactus. This is football.
It's hurt us so many times before.
After saying all that, this is the game of football.
Yeah.
And everyone out there who knows football knows what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Someone gets sent off early. Suddenly the referee makes a couple of errors. We're chasing the game later. The Honduran, they're starting it.
Hall jumps on the crossbar.
Something happens. Right? So I'm kind of hoping the security's there, won't let anyone on the field. I'm kind of hoping Hondurans won't suddenly become messies overnight.
Yeah.
And our team will be fine.
Hey, what I like about this lineup, I like the attacking side of it, obviously, but I like the fact that Jednak and Milligan are playing together in front of that back three. I like it. And I like that Aziz Bajic has been selected down that left-hand side for Australia because Albert Ellis comes into the side for Honduras, incredibly fast right winger. So it's important that, Robbie Cruz didn't play in that position because he's not exactly naturally, not that he's not a good player, but he's not naturally a defensive kind of player. Also doesn't have the speed, arguably, to keep up with Albert. So it's good that Aziz Bajic is going on down there in the left-hand side of the field. What I also love is the Socceroos' home record since 2015, Carlos. It's quite extraordinary. I didn't quite realise. 20 games, 16 wins, 1 draw and only 3 losses. 47 goals we scored in that time and only conceded 7. So, augurs well for a good result, but...
Yeah, this is football.
This is football, Carlos.
Cactus, I think it's time to cross over to the Fox Sports team over there in Sydney. Good luck to you, Cactus. Good luck, Australia.
Yeah. Good luck to me.
Simon Hill, take us home.